Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Statement win in Colorado. A Battle of Alberta win back at the Saddle Dome. And then the Flames drop a slop fest to the Caps. Good evening and welcome to Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Good to have you here after the Flames drop a 5-4 loss to the Washington Capitals here tonight. We're doing the show on a Tuesday night. We don't usually do the show on a Tuesday. We usually do it on Wednesday nights. Everything's good. Tonight, I'm going to be out of town this week. So we're doing a late night Tuesday night after the game. So I'm going to try to stay awake here. I'm going to try to keep the energy up. But it's been a long day. It's been a long week. It's tough watching these guys play every single night. Can you imagine if we were the ones that had to go out there and do it every single night? Wow. Busy, busy week. Almost unfair. The amount of games this team's playing, 5 and 7 days. We're right in the middle of that now. And it showed tonight. Let's hope they enjoy the rest, on Wednesday and are able to bounce back with a strong performance from the two-time defending Stanley Cup champ, Tampa Bay Lightning. It doesn't get any easier. But this week's been a good week too, as we go to Colorado and beat the best team in the West in a game that, I don't know, we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show, but has there been a game that you've watched this year where you were more of like, wow, that is playoff hockey, that is playoff atmosphere? I don't think so. We follow that up on back-to-back nights. Or no, excuse me, we did have Sunday off. I'm all mixed up. Monday night we played Battle of Alberta and beat those Oilers 3-1. And the Flames were then 12-0-1 in their last 13 home games, outscoring their opponents by 39 goals, outscoring them 60-21. Calgary is also 15-2-1 overall since January 24th. That's second most in the franchise through that amount of games. The only time more was in 88-89, and we know what happened that year, right? There's a lot to be happy about. I know doing a show like this right after a loss can get frustrating. It is for me. It's funny how, you know, last year when we lost, I was maybe mildly frustrated would be a good way of putting it. Now this year when, I expect the team to win every single night, when they lose it kind of bugs you a little bit more, but not too upset tonight. How can you get upset? This team's been so good lately. I don't know. But tonight on the show, we're going to talk about, well, first we're going to recap the four games since we last talked last week. And then, something I don't understand. And it reared its ugly head this week. I want to talk about the fan base. And I'm on Twitter all the time, and I'm on Facebook and Flames groups. And I love those Flames groups. And I love the fans and my friends on Flames Twitter. But man, are some of these guys like not understanding how good this team is this year? And the amount of negative talk is just, it's crazy. This team weren't first place, you guys. I don't know. Then we're going to discuss this murderer's row of a schedule that we're in and how this team is going to, what they're going to have to do to adapt and survive. We'll wrap with some Flames news from the Pacific, a Facebook poll. And we're going to preview more matchups. Four more games lie ahead until next week when we talk. And, it's busy, busy, busy for the Calgary Flames. We'll be right back. All right, Flames fans. Let's cruise through. We got four games to talk about since we last talked last Wednesday night. Let's start it off with Thursday night's game, when Montreal came to the Saddle Dome. And this night was a frustrating game, man. That was a frustrating one. Flames dropped that one 5-4. Get outshot by the Canadiens 35-34. Now we got to bear with it. Since Martin St. Louis took over as head coach of the Canadiens, they've been a lot better hockey team. 1-1 after one. Here's where I start to have a problem. 3-2 after two. And yeah, Canadiens score 2-1 in the third. We're tied and they beat us in overtime. Mangiapane was the bright spot for the Flames. One goal, two assists. Markstrom with his 11th loss of the year. Ben Chiarot, didn't think we'd see this, but he gets the game-winning goal. It was the second of the night. Sutter pointed the fingers at a lot of the stars after this game with turnovers, and I noticed that too. I didn't notice just like an abundance from just the stars, but it was a sloppy game. The team wasn't sharp. I mean, they just weren't sharp. And I we can't point fingers at him very often, but Markstrom struggled, I thought, a lot against Montreal. And it wasn't the Flames' night. Take a couple days off. That was on Thursday. They take Friday off. Saturday, they head to the Mile High City of Denver to take on the Colorado Avalanche, leaders of the Western Conference. And this was, I mentioned it in the intro, as close to a playoff game as you're ever going to get. It was back and forth. It was hard hitting. It had every single aspect. It had great offensive plays, great defensive plays, great goaltending. It had a little bit of everything. When all said and done, 2-2 after one, 3-3 after two, nobody scores in the third. Calgary wins it on a Johnny Gaudreau goal in overtime, 4-3. Dan Vladar gets the win, his 8th of the year. And let's talk about that. Dan Vladar gets a surprise start. But I don't know. After when it first was announced, I was a little surprised, but I was actually a little bit happy. I think Sutter's really hard on Vladar sometimes, and I thought Vladar, after a shaky start to this, was overall pretty solid. The Flames chased Darcy Kemper after just 3 goals, which seemed to really piss him off, and he didn't even start the next night. On Monday night when they traveled to Long Island to take on the Islanders. So I don't know if there's animosity there or what's going on, or if I'm reading too much into that. But Elias Lindholm, unreal again. Single-handedly creates that game-winning goal in overtime. Mans his guy off the puck and takes the puck away, strips it, gives it to Gaudreau. Gaudreau goes down and scores. Bingo bango, Flames win against the best team in the Western Conference, and really a statement game if you're the Calgary Flames. If people in the league didn't believe, they believed after Saturday night, because it was a good all around performance from the Flames. One thing I did notice, and it seems like every time I really sit and watch Colorado play, I turn the TV off by thinking, Nathan MacKinnon's the best player in the National Hockey League. It's amazing. The guy can take over games. He was so dominant in parts of this game. And just, he does it all, you know. And I like Connor McDavid. And I think Connor McDavid's a wonderful skater. But MacKinnon's that, plus a physical play, plus a stronger defensive game, plus an edge to his game, plays with a burr under his saddle, really picks his team, throws him on his back in all aspects. I'm not saying McDavid isn't that, but he's not. He's not. Let's just face it, guys. He's not. And Nathan MacKinnon, boy, we play Colorado in the playoffs, we're going to have to do exactly like we did in this game, because we shut him down fairly well. Monday night, we'll get Sunday off. Monday night, Edmonton comes to Calgary for the Battle of Alberta round 3. Calgary drops the first two of the Battle of Alberta, both in Edmonton, and now it's time to play one at the Saddle Dome. And Sutter shakes up the lines. He changes them up. First line stays the same. Second line, Backlund with Lewis and Coleman. Third line, Ruziska with Toffoli and Mangiapane. Fourth line, Monahan centering Dubé and Lucic. Markstrom does get the goal. Nobody scores in the first. Calgary pots two in the second. Adds another one in the third. Edmonton adds one on a disastrous goal that bounced off a referee into the front of the net and then ended up in the back of the net. Ruziska back in the lineup after being scratched the last four games. Richie goes out. Richardson and Stone are the other scratches. Edmonton was missing a lot of players, including Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Toffoli ends up with the night with two goals. Gaudreau, goal and an assist. Markstrom, 27 saves, allows just one goal for his 26th win. Yep, Tyler Toffoli gets the win. And the big, most impressive thing of this night is the Flames ended up giving Edmonton four power plays. Doesn't allow a goal. And three of the power plays were to penalties taken by the Flames players that were key players on the penalty kill. So double whammy, and they still end up killing all four. McDavid, Dreisaitl, yeah, 0 points in this game. The backline line with Coleman and Lewis completely shut them down. It was amazing to watch. A lot of fun. No rest for the wicked. They're back at it just one night later tonight, Tuesday night, and the Washington Capitals are in town. So the Washington Capitals have been in town watching, resting, ready to take on the Flames, and the Flames looked tired tonight. Tired, 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 as we got a sloppy turnover fest that ends up being a 5-4 loss to the Flames. The Flames outshoot the Capitals 35-27. Some minor line changes. Line one stays the same. Backlund centers Toffoli and Coleman. Ruziska centers Dubé, Mangiapane, Monahan with Lewis and Lucic. Now, do we think Sutter's going to the Jeff Ward mentality? No. I think he's just slightly tweaking the lines to find that perfect. But I think he's also doing it to match other lines defensively. And I think he's done pretty well at that. I'd like to see the lines stabilize a little bit. I got some ideas. We'll talk about it on the next show on what I would do with there and how you integrate that with the NHL trade deadline, which is coming quick, quick, quick. Vladar was okay tonight. I would like to see him a little better on the Dowd. Sutter was very, very critical of him tonight on the post-game presser, which I don't know. I understand Sutter. I love Sutter, but I understand why he does that. But, I mean, goalies to me are ones you don't want to attack. He didn't say he was awful. He just said he needed to make some of those saves, especially on, like, the Dowd one. I don't know. It just leaves a bad taste in mouth because I always think, well, what happens if Markstrom goes down? Is this a tip at Koskinen 2.0? Like, where does Vladar stand confidence-wise? All in all, I mean, I don't think we should be upset with Vladar. I think, you know, I pencil him in. If he gets 10 wins by the end of the season, he did his job and he's well on his way. So I think things are good there. Where I saw things go really awry tonight is like Monahan had a horrible turnover that led to a goal. He was awful tonight. Lucic, who nobody talks about and criticizes, has been awful the last three games. Falling all over the place tonight. I don't understand. He's been falling all over the place for two or three games now. He causes the second goal. And I started to think, you know, and I'm not bashing Lucic because I like him, but he's not the youngest guy, and he's a big lumbering guy. Is it maybe smart to work him in and out of the lineup so that by the time playoffs come, he's not dead? Because he's looked rough the last couple games. Just not the Lucic we saw at the beginning of the year. I'm wondering if a little bit of rest isn't just what the doctor ordered here. Lindholm with two goals tonight. That was very impressive. The man just keeps going. He's just unreal. Anderson blocks two shots in his hands from Ovechkin late in the game. And man, I just worry, is that going to lead to an injury? Like, how is he doing? I know he finished the game, but I kind of worry about that. And then as the buzzer went, it looked like Tom Wilson clipped Gaudreau knee to knee, and Gaudreau labored a little bit going off. I'm hoping that's not anything, and that was just a small tweak, or just Gaudreau trying to play one up to try to get Tom Wilson. I don't know. I don't know that he's doing that. I think it was just more of a Gaudreau was tired thing, but I'm hoping that we don't have any injuries there. A disappointing loss tonight, but you know what, guys? Like, when you really drill down, like, you can't be perfect 82 games, can you? And tonight was a loss that I don't like because we had a lead. But I don't think a loss that we can, you know, go to bed tonight upset with this team in any way. All right, Flames fans, we're going to talk about this fan base. Fan base that I'm part of. So, like, I'm not ripping you. I'm part of this fan base. But I got frustrated this week. And what I got frustrated this week about is just why everything falls negative. I listen to Fan 960 all the time, most of the day and most of the post game. I'm missing tonight's, but I'll listen to it in the morning tomorrow. But even Pat Steinberg mentioned a month or so ago how when this team struggles, the phone lines are going all the time. And when this team keeps winning, it seems like the calls aren't as many. And he hasn't mentioned that lately, but he did mention that about a month ago. And I thought about it. I'm like, Well, think about it. What do people like to do? They like to bitch. And social media brings out the bitchiness to an extreme. And I got frustrated this week, and I'm not naming names, but a couple of people posted things on Facebook and on Twitter, and I'm just going to read some of them that just make me shake my head. Someone posted, "This makes no sense that Sutter plays Markstrom against Montreal, an easier team, and now plays Vladar against a top team in the division." We lost with Markstrom in net against Montreal and won with Vladar against Colorado. What the hell is your point? Somebody else put, "In my opinion, 55 and 44 are the worst pairing on the Flames. I don't think it's even close. Am I wrong and why?" Well, do we have a pair that's bad? Probably argue that Gudbranson and Zadorov have maybe been right up there with Anderson and Tanev. Tanev and Shillington, I'm sorry. Those have been, you know, but Anderson and Hanifin, you guys think they're bad? Do you think we can go out on the trade market and get better than Anderson and Tanev? Or excuse me, than Hanifin? Really? I don't understand that. Another one. "Monahan is invisible and needs to go. What is he even doing out there?" Monahan has struggled for 2 years, you guys. And everybody posts every single night, "We need to trade Monahan." How do you trade Monahan with that salary? Are you willing to give up a number one pick with him? Or a top-end prospect with him? Teams don't take other teams' turds. This is a win league. People don't do favors and take people's turds. And I hate saying that about Monahan because he works his ass off and he was awful tonight. But he busts his ass. Lucic is overpaid as hell, too, and I don't see Facebook flooded with people being like, "God, what are we going to do with Lucic? We got to get rid of Lucic. Lucic sucks." If anybody should be player on the team that people should be upset with right now is Dylan Dubé. But nobody puts on Facebook and questions Dylan Dubé's quality of play, but it's real easy to quick throw it at Monahan. And I'm not defending Monahan and the fact that he's not good. But people, quit posting that we got to trade him because nobody will take him. It doesn't make any sense. Another one here. It says, I know this will be an unpopular opinion, but I think we should try and trade Hanifin. Only today, and only in the first period, he cost us the second goal for Colorado. Some turnovers happened as well. His last couple of games, he's not as solid as he used to be. If we want to go for the cup, we need to get guys who are 100% in shape. And we need to upgrade our D. Should we go all in or trade him plus someone else? If yes, for who? Or maybe we should keep him and see what's going to happen. I know we have more stars that should be traded, but right now we should stay focused and talk about our defense. First of all, I don't even understand half the post. But this guy's ripping our defense. Our defense has been one of the best defensive cores in the league this year. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And I'm not just picking on these posts, because I post stupid stuff once in a while, too, when I'm angry. I criticized Dubé tonight on Twitter. Now Dubé will go out and score two goals on Thursday night and make me look like a dumbass. Guys, are we ripping on our players who are in first place right now because it's fun to be negative? Or is it just that social media is such an easy form to bitch that this is what we do? I don't know. I know it's your opinion, and I have my opinions, and this show is just an opinion. Am I right all the time? Hell no. But it's my opinion, and that's okay, and I respect everybody's opinions. But I hate the trade everything attitude. One game goes wrong, and oh shit, we need to trade him. If you go to work and you have one off day, should they fire you? I don't know. Think about it in those terms maybe before we get all negative. But this team is in first place. Guys, if I would have told you opening night after we lost to Edmonton that we would be sitting in first place 7 points ahead of Vegas, you guys would have told me I was nuts. So instead of bitching and freaking about time, we should probably be thankful. I don't know. I'm one of the more critical guys I know of this team. But I also know that like these runs like we're on this year come around once a decade, man. Like we need to live it up. Freaking Red Mile needs to be rocking every single night from here on out. Because this is a damn good hockey team. All right, Flames fans, how in the world are we going to get through this schedule? We're in the middle of 5 games in 7 days. I'm tired watching it. The team looked tired tonight, and this team is in shape. It's a Daryl Sutter team. And here's what lies ahead. We're home again on Thursday. Then we have a back-to-back with travel on Saturday, Sunday between Detroit and Colorado. Then we're a couple days off. We're home against New Jersey on Wednesday. Then we're gone Friday and Saturday with travel at home against Buffalo on the 18th and in Vancouver on the 19th on Saturday. It's Sunday and Monday off. Then we got Tuesday at home with San Jose. We got Wednesday, Thursday off, and then we hit the road. Then we're at home for a home back-to-back, Friday night Arizona, Saturday night Edmonton. We got Sunday, Monday off, and then we got Colorado at home on Tuesday, and then we got Wednesday off, and we got L.A. at home on Thursday. It's 11 games. This is March now. We got 11 in 21 days, 3 back-to-backs, 2 of them with travel, 9 home games and 2 road games, 4 of them versus playoff teams. Now, the playoff teams we got to play are good. Tampa Bay, Colorado, and LA. Got Edmonton thrown in there. It's not the worst, but the back-to-backs are going to be grueling. And then what do you do with goaltending? And I'll break out what I would do in March. Now, things change by maybe a game or two here or there, but I think in the March, with the 11 games, we need to get Vladar in three more times. I think he'll go back to Markstrom on Thursday night against Tampa Bay. I think we see Vladar on Saturday night against Detroit. Back to Markstrom in Colorado on Sunday. We'll get Markstrom on Wednesday against New Jersey. We should get Vladar against Buffalo on Friday. The back-to-back second half on Saturday night should be Markstrom in Vancouver. Markstrom should get Tuesday against San Jose. Then we have a back-to-back Friday, Saturday, both games at home. Let's get Vladar in against Arizona. Markstrom in against Edmonton. And then we'll have Markstrom finish out the month of the Tuesday, Thursday. I don't know how that'll go, but I'm worried about managing time and also managing Vladar's confidence and getting him the right starts at the right time. And I don't understand. Everybody's worried about if Vladar will be able to do this. And really, he's shown us that he can. He's well on his way to the 10 wins that I projected at the beginning of the year that I felt like would be a success for him. In April, it doesn't get any easier for the Flames. 15 games in 30 days, three back-to-backs, all of them on the road, nine road games, which is going to be a little different for this team, which has had a lot of home cooking lately, nine road games, six at home. Seven of the 15 games are against playoff teams, so it gets a little tougher in April. But when you really, really boil it down, we have 26 games in the next 50 days. It's laughable, isn't it? With a lot of back-to-backs. We're going to have to manage minutes. We're going to have to manage goaltender minutes. We're going to have to manage injuries and not putting people into positions that they can't handle. Ice time in certain games is going to have to get fluctuated based on the score. It's going to be full survival mode. Full survival mode. And then to think, after all that, the playoff start, and we know what a grind that's going to be.
Hey, hockey fans, check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
All right, Flames fans, let's talk a little bit of Flames news. Not a whole lot. It'll be a little shorter show tonight. Late at night here, we're going to have a little break, right? Flames news. Geo hits our old captain, Mark Giordano. And the reason I bring this up, I know he's not of current Flame. And no, I'm not on the bring Geo to Calgary train for a trade deadline. But he hit 1,000 games. 949 of those were in the Flames jersey. And, you know, it was a privilege and exciting to watch this guy, an undrafted player that got kind of kicked to the curb by Sutter and went to Russia, proved his way back to Calgary, and became the captain and leader of the team. It's a great story. He's a great character human being in the city of Calgary and what he did for this community and what he still does for this community, for a matter of fact. But congratulations. 1,000 games. Then tonight, Michael Backlund hits 800 games. He's the fifth player in franchise history to play 800 games as a Flame. And all of his games have been as a Flame. That's pretty impressive. Very impressive. And Michael Backlund is about as good a guy as you're ever going to meet, too. Two character guys here and two guys that Calgary really should be proud of. These guys are, as good as it gets in the community on the ice and off the ice. And I know you know, some people think that Backlund should be putting up more goals than he does, but man, just take a look at really what this guy does on a night-to-night basis. Let's roll through the standings right now as it stands. Calgary through 56 games, 34-14-7, lead the Pacific Division with 75 points. A surprise, just 4 points behind them, the Los Angeles Kings. They have played two more games than the Flames, but they're red hot, winning 8 of their last 10. This team has had some impressive wins along the way. The Vegas Golden Knights, who we thought was going to win the Pacific, and I know we're not, it's not over yet. 7 points back at 68 points through 58 games. They've played two more than the Flames. On a little bit of a struggle bus lately. Edmonton sits at 64 in fourth. Anaheim at 63 in fifth. Vancouver 62 in sixth. I think their time's about out here. They've won 7 of their last 10, but it's going to be a tough battle. San Jose sits in seventh at 55 points in Seattle, bringing up the rear, 39 points in eighth place. The Flames pace. So if the Flames continue at the pace they are on right now, this team will finish with 109.79 is the pace they're heading. So almost 110 points. Now, let's put that in perspective. Usually 93 is kind of a benchmark that gets you into the playoffs. 93, 95, sometimes 93 usually guarantees you a playoff spot. Pretty impressive. What's even more impressive, this team, if they go 500, which I don't think will happen, but if even if they just have troubles down the stretch here because of the schedule and they go 500 the rest of the way, they still end up with 101 points. I don't think anybody saw that coming, did they? The LA Kings, which we talked about a minute ago, just really been good lately, with wins over Buffalo, Columbus, the Islanders, Anaheim, Arizona, Vegas. The only thing is, I looked at those wins, and there's some impressive ones. I know, I'll give the Vegas one as an impressive one. But there's a couple other easy ones thrown in there. I don't know. Is this team really for real? I think you have to think so. They're sitting at 71 points right behind us. So I respect that. They're 17-7-5 on the road. We'll see what happens. I'm really interested. We play LA pretty soon here, and I'm interested to see how that game goes, because this is a team that I've kind of wrote off multiple times this year, and every time I do that, they make me look bad, and they, you know, roll off 5 wins in a row or something. But let's see what happens with this LA Kings team. Let's go to the Facebook poll. I usually do a listener question and Facebook poll of the week, and this week we did a Facebook poll. And our friends at Flames Hub helped us out with this one. Get on over to Flames Hub. Join that group. They're a great group of guys. Lots of good Flames talk every day on that Facebook group. But I posed a poll to them, and I've been thinking about it. There's been numerous games this year that I've looked at and said, that was a very, very big and impressive win for this Flames team. So I jotted down it, and 8 of them stood out to me. And I'll read them off and give you the results all in one here, so it's a little bit easier to understand. But also a great response from the guys at Flame Sub, so thank you. But the winner was the February 9th 6-0 win at home against Vegas. 55% of the people who participated in the poll thought that was the most impressive win of the year. Number two was the January 18th 5-1 win at home against the Florida Panthers. I like that win. That one was the number two. The number three was the March 5th 4-3 overtime win in Colorado that we just saw last Saturday night. Now, that was my vote. 11% of the people voted for that. That was mine. I just thought, because it was such a benchmark, I don't even think we were on our best that night, but we found a way. And just found a way that night. The next one in line was at 7%. The 5-1 win in Minnesota on March 1st. At 4% was the January 24th 7-1 win at home against St. Louis. That was, yes, a very impressive game. The next one was a 3% of the voting got November 6th, a 6-0 win at home against the New York Rangers. And then The next one was the February 26th, 7-3 win at home to the Minnesota Wild. That was 1% of the votes. And another one I had on the docket, because I was pretty impressed by this game, was the November 21st, 4-0 win in Boston. Nobody did vote that as the most impressive. And I guess I understand that one. But, yeah, some really, really impressive wins. When's the last time that we sat and looked at an 82-game schedule? Excuse me. Well, we played 56. And I was able to write 8 giant wins against good, good hockey teams. It's just, it's hard to believe where we're at this year and all the positive things happening in Calgary.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, time to look ahead on what goes on the rest of this week, as it's busy, busy, busy. No rest for the wicked. We get Wednesday off. Thursday, we're back at it at home. The two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning come in. They currently sit second to the Atlantic with 80 points. And yeah, tonight, a loss to the Winnipeg Jets 7-4. Oof, that's not going to sit well. They are not going to be happy coming in to the Saddle Dome. This is the second of two meetings. Tampa Bay did beat Calgary in the first meeting on January 6th in Tampa Bay 4-1. Then on Saturday, an early game on Saturday, I believe it's a 5:00 start here in Calgary. Detroit comes to town, and Detroit currently sits with 54 points, fifth in the Atlantic, and they took it on the chin tonight too. Everybody we got coming up took it on the chin tonight. They lost to the Arizona Coyotes. Get this, 9-2. Oof. Not going to sit well. They're not going to be happy coming into Calgary. The second of two meetings, Calgary didn't win the first one, 3-0 in Detroit on October 21st. Then back-to-back as Saturday, as soon as we play in Calgary on Saturday night, we need to hop on a plane and get to Colorado for a Sunday night game, March 13th, against the Colorado Avalanche, who currently sit with 87 points first in the Central. They lost tonight, too, to the Philadelphia Flyers. Who in the world saw that one coming? All these teams are not going to be happy coming off bad losses. This is the second of three meetings between the Flames and Avalanche. Calgary did win that last one. We just talked about numerous times. Saturday night, 4-3 in overtime in Colorado. That third meeting does happen in Calgary on March 29th, right at the end of the season. Then we wrap up the rest of the week. We get Monday, Tuesday off, and then Wednesday we're back at it again when the New Jersey Devils come into town. That's on March 16th. The Devils currently sit 47 points, 7th in the Metro. Second of two meetings between the Flames and the Devils. Calgary did win the first one in New Jersey on October 26th, 5-3. Man, I've never done that many previews and recaps, and holy cow, is it just a gong show as we grind our way to NHL trade deadline, and then the final push to the playoffs, as this team is just doing it all, even though a setback tonight to the Washington Capitals, 5-4. The Flames get back at it again, Thursday night, Tampa Bay comes to town. Thank you for listening again tonight on a late episode. We don't usually do these after show or after games, but you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get the shows in. We're back next Thursday. Game on Wednesday night. We don't do these usually on game nights. We'll fire back at you Thursday night, March 17th. We'll shuffle those days just a little bit, and it's time to talk NHL trade deadline, as it is Stanley Cup or bust in Calgary. What moves should the team make, and what moves would I like to see the team make? Check out flamesunfiltered.com for all your information about the show. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts, Spotify, and also check out the video version on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Have a great week, Flames fans. Get some rest after a tough loss tonight. We're back at it Thursday night when the Tampa Bay Lightning come to town. It's a good time to be a Flames fan. Sitting a first in the Pacific.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter @FlameUnfiltered
And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.